But there is something I'm going to say that links a little bit to this, so we just thought we'd have this little clip that I'll come back to in just one moment. But whatever I'm saying, I'm not endorsing John Lewis at all. You don't have to dash out there and do your shopping. And if you suddenly want a cuddly little dragon or whatever it is, they were available for £15 in John Lewis, but they're all sold out now, so it's too late. So never mind. I hear they're changing hands for £75 on eBay at the moment. But anyway, if you're looking for a late Christmas present from me, I'd much rather have ginger covered in chocolate, actually. So it's much better for me. But anyway, how does that clip link to some of the things that we've heard read out this evening? So I'm just going to go back to the passages in the Bible that we had read out, and I'm just going to speak a little bit from them and linking in a couple of themes from the advert we've just been looking at as well. The message of the angels to the shepherds, you might recall, when the shepherds were tending their flocks, as we sing. You can just imagine the scene, can't you? A little fire burning, and it would have been a completely black night, and you can just imagine them seeing the stars, and everything would be just as it was on every other night. But then suddenly, of course, the angel appeared and actually gave the message, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And of course, the shepherds were astonished when they heard this, and indeed they actually decided that they would actually go into Bethlehem and see with their own eyes this baby lying in the manger. But when you actually read that passage, I suppose it's a story that we all know so well that we almost take it for granted. But it is an amazing thought, isn't it, when you think about a Saviour for all of the world being born in Bethlehem, and this is the Messiah, someone who's been anticipated coming for hundreds of years, and finally he's come. But where is he? He's not in a palace. He's not even in a nice place. He's actually in a stable, wrapped in clothes, in a manger. This would have been a somewhat dirty place. Can you imagine that? It must have smelt a little bit nasty. Not the cleanest place. It would have been a bit dark, a little bit dank, a little bit dirty maybe. And this is the place that God chose for the Saviour of the earth, the Saviour of the world to be born. And when you think about it, actually the shepherds were slightly odd visitors to come as well, because they were probably a little bit dirty and a little bit smelly themselves. You might say they fitted in very well into the stable maybe. But it's very unlikely choice of first visitors. I mean, you might say that if the Saviour of the world has been born, the Messiah, who has been waited for hundreds of years, people have been waiting him for such a long time, you'd have thought it would have been somebody really important that would be invited to go and see him on that very first night. But it wasn't actually, it was just these shepherds, very unusual first visitors. And even these three wise men, or the three magi, as it said in the Bible as it was read out. The word magi is an odd word. Actually, we don't have that word in English. The word magi, it's translated as wise men in some versions of the Bible. But actually, it really means someone... I suppose, what shall I say? The word magi actually would have felt like a very foreign, strange word to the people who first read that story. Elsewhere in the New Testament, magi is actually translated as sorcerer. Those of you who know the Acts of the Apostles, you might remember there's a character called Simon the Sorcerer. That's Simon the Magi, or the Magos, actually, as is one of him. And so to Jewish ears, where this was first written, these wise men, as we think of them, would have seemed slightly dubious or slightly dodgy or slightly disreputable people as well. But they were called and they came from a long way away also to see Jesus. And so what do we actually make of this story when we think about it in those terms? It seems very odd, doesn't it, that this strange collection of people were the first to see Jesus. But I think there's just a number of things. I'm just going to make three very short points from that. I think the first thing I'm going to say is that God accepted and valued everybody's worship when they came to see him. So he appreciated the dirty and smelly shepherds. He appreciated the slightly dodgy and disreputable magi, maybe. And what did the angels say? They said, we bring good news that will cause joy for all people. At that time, of course, there was a big division. There was the division between the Jewish people, who were sort of God's chosen people at that time, and there were those who were outside God's calling. But this is a very different story. This time, this is good news for all people. And I'll just say the first thing about this passage, as we think about the shepherds and the Magi coming, is that all of us are welcome, and God's wish for us to have peace and joy and to know his goodwill is true for all of us today. So if you're sitting next to someone and you think that person's a little bit smelly or dirty, well, they're just like one of the shepherds. It doesn't matter a little bit. If you're a little bit smelly or dirty yourself, I hope there's nobody here like that today. But if you are, then you may enjoy God's best wishes and God's blessing on your life. If there's anybody a bit dodgy or disreputable like the Magi, well, also, God's blessing could be on your life today. I don't know whether there are any dragons here, are there? If there are any dragons here, then even a dragon can know God's blessing. And even a dragon, God wants to give a present, I suppose, as the advert said, even to a dragon. Anyway, so God's blessing is for all of us today. But as we saw in the advert, sometimes life can be a little bit messy. And we think about having God's blessing on our lives. And we think about that especially at Christmas, God's good news of goodwill towards men. But sometimes Christmas can be quite a difficult, high-pressure time, can't it? Sometimes, actually, the pressure of Christmas can actually contrive to make it a time that's actually not so easy for all of us to truly feel peaceful. And in fact, sometimes our human efforts to try and create joy and happiness can sometimes have the very opposite effect. And it's a fact, actually, that over Christmas, actually, there is more alcohol drunk than there's more crime committed. There are more murders, quite shockingly, than at any other time of the year. And so somehow the Christmas festival as we have it in our world today doesn't actually always result in us experiencing joy and peace. And sometimes life, as we experience it in the real world, can be just that little bit messy. And even if we like that cuddly dragon who's called Edgar, did you know that? You all know Edgar. Even if you're trying to do your best all the time, sometimes even when you try to do the best, we end up making things worse. And there's just nothing that we seem to be able to do about that. Life often is actually quite messy. And we end up having taken decisions in life that we regret. We end up with things that we might have wanted to do that we haven't done and so forth. And sometimes we try and do our best and things just don't really work out. But the point is, God has got an answer to that problem for the messiness of life. And actually at Christmas, actually he does give us a present to be received. And he gave us the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, in a way that's what I've been sort of leading up to saying, because that really, of course, is the message of Christmas, that this very day, a son, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is born in Bethlehem. And so in a way, when the advert says, just show people how much you care, God shows how much he cares for us by sending his own son to be born in that way. But it's not really just a soppy thought. I mean, we have all these Christmas carols about Jesus laying down his sweet head and so forth. But actually, Jesus had a very, very tough life. You know, that was only the beginning, of course, that we think about at Christmas, being born in the stable. He actually said to his disciples, when he was an adult, he said that foxes have their holes, birds have their nests, but the Son of Man, meaning himself, has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't even have a home to call his own when he was travelling around. And of course, Jesus had the end of his life was the most painful of all. And of course, we think about the cross, don't we, on the wall, and we think about Jesus dying on the cross. But the good news is that God gave his son, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the stable, so that God can actually forgive us, and God can freely give his love to us, and we can experience that peace. So when we think about Christmas, actually, we think about the all of the activities of Christmas, we think about the presents, We think about all the things we do as families. But above all, actually, we should say that God is giving us the very best present he could ever give. He's giving us his own son, who was born in difficult circumstances, had a very difficult life, had a very difficult death as well. He died on the cross. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, even as he took that punishment in his body, that suffering, he actually paid the price for everything that we've done wrong. And all that messiness of life that I talked about earlier is just wiped out by that death of Jesus. And so the actual gift that God gives us at Christmas is actually that opportunity to live a new life. Jesus had the tough life, but actually when he died on the cross, he actually bore the penalty. He paid the punishment, if you like, for the things that we've done wrong. We've read the story of the shepherds from Luke's Gospel. We've read the story of the Magi from Matthew's Gospel. I'm just going to read out a few words from John's Gospel, just to bring us to a close. In John's Gospel, John writes, "The true light that gives light to everyone has been coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, he gave to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So the light that gives, the true light, giving light to everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus came into the world, but actually the world, sadly, did not receive him. And the world rejected him. And he ended up, of course, as I said a moment ago, dying on a cross. He was rejected by the people he came to save. But to those who did receive him, John says, he gave the right. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that is the true present that God gives us at Christmas. He gives us that through giving Jesus, born in a baby, in the stable, in Bethlehem. He gives us that right to become children of God as we believe in his name. And so what I would just say to you is this Christmas, of course, I wish everyone to have the very best of happiness, the very best of joy, to know every blessing in your lives. But above all, I just think the most precious thing is just to remember that gift of God at Christmas, the gift of becoming a child of God. And sometimes we can read the story and hear it so many times, but sometimes actually it just sort of drifts through our consciousness without us really thinking about it. But I just say that just this year, just think about that God gave his own son, Jesus, born in that way, that we can truly become children of God. We can be forgiven for what we've done wrong, and we can be guaranteed that we have a hope and an eternal life afterwards. And God just wants us to put our faith and our trust in him. So it's a wonderful gift that we're celebrating at Christmas, the most precious gift that's ever been given. It's a hard thing, isn't it, to imagine giving your son for somebody else, but God willingly did that for all of us. And I'll just leave that thought with you tonight, that we are so familiar with the story as we hear it, but just think about that anew. It's the most amazing thing that God allowed his own son to come, be born in such difficult circumstances, to suffer in such way, and he did that just to show his love to each one of us in the room tonight. And I just encourage you, just this Christmas, as we think of God's love, just take hold of that. Just John says, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And even as we actually believe in Jesus' name, as we accept that he really was the Savior of the world, born in that stable, then God will make us into his children. But we just need to take that step of just believing in him and following him. And we saw the shepherds, how they went to see Jesus. We read about the Magi, how they followed the star to see Jesus. But above all, the important thing for us today is that we just put our trust in him day by day. We're not saved by trying to be better people. We're not saved by trying to be better and better with our New Year's resolutions. We're saved just by simply putting our trust in Jesus and just knowing that God gave his all for us. And that, if you like, is the the true message or the full message of Christmas, that the Saviour of the world has come, born in this rather unusual way, but nevertheless God allowed his Son to suffer for us. And as we think about that difficulty of Jesus' birth, then in some respects that's part, if you like, of that payment for the things that we have done wrong in our own lives. And God was willing to let his Son die and live in that difficult way. So there you are, there's a few thoughts from Christmas. But as I said, God's desire is for all of us just to know his blessing, for all of us to know his joy. Whether we're smelly, disreputable, or dragons, the message is for everyone. Okay, so whether you come here every Sunday, or whether you're popping in for the first time today, I just say may God's blessing truly be with you, and may you have a really great Christmas. And if you would like to talk any more about that, I'm sure I'd be happy to talk with you later on.